Alrighty, folks, it is time to strap yourselves in, grab yourself a nice cool beverage, and join us for episode 9. We're up to 9 already, and it's a quick one this time, too. Episode 9 of the General Knowledge Podcast, featuring yours truly, General Maddox here from realnewsaustralia.com, and of course, my colleague is here joining us today. We've got Andy as well. Andy, how are you going, mate?
I'm good, thanks, Lee. Everything's going great, yep. Excellent. Looking forward to tonight.
Yes, we've got a good episode tonight. Thanks for joining me, mate. Ethan, hopefully, should be along a little bit later. He's struggling to get home from work. Good old Brisbane Public Transport. Big shout out to you guys. But today, we've got a special episode. We've got two guests on today. And the reason why we're doing today's episode, folks, is we're going to have a bit of a vaccine discussion. And one of the things we sort of often hear about, and we might even see these things if you're in groups on Facebook and other social media platforms with regards to expectant parents, mothers and fathers who've got little ones on the way. And there's always a ton of questions. And I think probably even most of the chats we might even see on those social media pages about in those anti-vax or freedom of choice groups is from parents who have got a new, a newborn on the way, and or they've just had a child and they're not sure what to do and they've got a ton of questions. So I thought, let's get someone on. I actually know a person. His name is Joel, and he's with us this evening. You've got a little one on the way. Joel, how are you going?
Very well, thank you, Lee.
Awesome. Very well. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Pleasure.
You've got just quickly before I bring in our next guest. When's your when's the due date for the missus there, mate?
Easter Saturday, actually.
There you go. Easter Saturday. It's only a couple of months away there, guys.
Not long.
She's got a hot cross bun in the oven right there. All right. So, all right, so our next guest is the always amazing and the wonderful Alona Lahn from the Fit to Parent Network. Did I get that one right, Alona?
You certainly did. Yes, awesome. Thanks, Lee.
Thanks for joining us, mate. It's great to have you here. How you been?
Yeah, awesome. Busy, busy. Every day is a busy day. Lots of messages, lots of contacts with people. So
yeah, it's awesome to see. I'm glad I've got the lasso thrown around you and on board for this episode. It's going to be great. It's always hard to get a hold of Alona. Like you said, she's always busy. But all right, guys. So we might just kick this off. We might just quickly do a real quick sort of introduction. Everyone knows who I am and Andy is, but we might, for those who haven't heard or are new to the podcast, and we even got some people overseas. Alona, if you wouldn't mind just quickly talking about who is Alona Lahn?
Yeah, Lee, I'm a natural health advocate and a freedom of choice ambassador. Very concerned about the current laws and legislations in Australia with the no jab, no pay and play legislations. What kickstarted me on this journey was at the age of 21, I went in for a pap smear, and the doctor, because I worked in hospitality, recommended that I had a hepatitis B vaccine. So I had the series of three, and consequently, ended up covered in eczema, autoimmune issues, and severe allergies. So I was in the system. My eczema got extremely worse, bad, severe allergies, and the doctors couldn't help me. So I turned to a naturopath, and they asked me if I'd recently been vaccinated, and I said yes. And the response was, that will do it every time. So since then, I've been very wary of vaccines, and I now have a five-year-old and she's fully unvaccinated. And, of course, when I was confronted by the midwives about whether or not I was going to vaccinate my daughter, I said no, but I didn't have enough information to back myself and decided that I needed to get educated. So I did. And then with the no jab, no pay and play legislations, I decided I need to get very educated because the government were endorsing coerced and forced vaccination through intimidation, bullying, blackmail and bribery. And so I was stimulated to get busy and get active. And I looked around, and what happened is I saw all these other parents that were feeling bullied, coerced, intimidated, and unsupported. So through that, we've set up networks and support groups and that sort of stuff for people that have decided not to vaccinate and are feeling alone and isolated. And so we share resources and share all sorts of different things. So, yeah, so that's me.
Well, so and now you've started up your own little sort of Fit to Parent Network, as you've called it. So you've got, a whole bunch of mums and dads around your area, or are these sort of groups that are all around the country that are helping each other out with regards to this sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, Lee, I've got my own page, which is Alona Fit to Parent Network, and I set that up purely for me to rant and to share the information as I gathered it. The networks, we actually have networks and groups around Australia, and that's been out of sheer necessity. And, different people have put their hand up to run different groups, and so we can link people in anywhere around Australia. And so all those groups are underground. They're all called different groups depending on who runs them. And all I am is the connector and the networker. So I connect people in and with people that are like-minded for support.
Yeah, it's wonderful. That's so good to see. And it's great that, would you say that the government has pretty much, been responsible for spawning these sort of groups? You know what I mean? Like, these sort of groups weren't around, but now that this legislation's come in, it's really as a response to their legislation, isn't it? You know, they're sort of causing this to happen, aren't they?
Oh, the intimidation and the bullying and the name calling, even by our politicians, is an absolute disgrace. And so, people are scared, they're concerned. And as we're going to discuss a little bit later on, families are turning against families. The government have endorsed discrimination and segregation and bullying, and that is totally unacceptable. And so, out of that, yes, of course, people have come together. And to support one another, because it's out of necessity and survival now. That's where we're at. And the government have done this, and they've created this problem. Even myself, I would have stayed quiet, except that I was called a baby killer, uneducated, a hippie, my child should be taken from me, all different names, and I object to being bullied and name-called. And so other people around Australia, exactly the same, and we're all peeved. And we're not going to back down because we've had enough.
Yeah, rightly so. Now, I might just bring in Joel here. So, Joel, as an expectant parent, you said you've had a little one on the way coming up in Easter this year. Mate, what would you say is the biggest concern for yourself, and if you've got a biggest concern for your partner as well, for your wife, what's the greatest concern with regards to vaccination and these laws that are sort of come about for kids, and the no jab, no pay, no jab, no play, what's next, no jab, no school? I mean, what's your biggest concern there, mate?
I don't like that they're taking your choice away. I mean, unless you're completely mainstream, you're seen as a kook. So I want to make sure that, whatever I do choose to do is in our opinion is the right thing. I mean, I've seen some stuff that absolutely scares the hell out of me with some of this vaccine stuff. So, I don't have the greatest immune system myself, and if that's passed through, then we're going to go and be jabbing it with a whole bunch of stuff that, based on some of the stuff I've been reading, is not really tried and tested and does have some problems. And And rather than actually looking at it and evaluating it, it's just, we'll do it because. And I was always brought up, cause is not an answer.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, when we were kids, mate, getting our shots and vaccines, which I'm guessing you probably did when you were a young lad as well. I certainly did as well. I don't remember going to the doctor that often, though, to get needles, you know what I mean? Whereas nowadays, Alona, how many immunizations are on the schedule now? Well, the Australian Immunization Register, how many are we supposed to have?
Well, there's 16 on the current childhood schedule. And so by 6 months of age, our children are given 25 doses of 8 different diseases. Now, when I grew up, I had 16 different doses of 5 different diseases by the age of 5. So they, by 6 months of age, our children are getting a higher dose now than what I did for my whole childhood. And that's the concern. So by the age of 4 years, there's 41 plus doses of 13 to 16, depending on whether you're Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, vaccines. So it's trebled from the childhood schedule that I had. And what's happening is at birth, babies are given a hepatitis B vaccine for a disease that is low prevalence here in Australia, primarily transferred through sex, drugs and tattoos, and pregnant women are routinely tested. So as a pregnant mother, you know whether you have or don't have hepatitis B, yet your child is vaccinated regardless. Now, unless they're going to shoot up some drugs or have some sex or get a tattoo, the likelihood of getting hepatitis B is so remote, it's ridiculous. So the problem with it is the schedule has increased, and people should be concerned, and parents should be very concerned, because is the hepatitis B vaccine really necessary? No, it's not.
Yeah, there you go. Andy, when you were a kid, do you remember how many vaccines you had when you were a young fella?
I think I would have only had about four maximum, yeah, maybe three.
I reckon maybe under 10 for myself, you know, and that's all the way up. Even in school, I remember trying not to get them, and I don't know what it was. I must have had a gut instinct. I just didn't like getting them in school. I remember having it once, and I just left. I just wagged it that day and didn't go back for it. But they weren't so strict on it back then, you know, whereas these days, you know, you've got no jab, no play, no jab, no pay, like I was saying before. I mean, Joel, when you've got, say your child's, you know, approaching the age of having to go to, you know, kindergarten, maybe you're both working hard and you need someone, family's too far away, you can't really rely on someone else to look after the little one, so you've got to put them in daycare or something. Is that a concern of yours, Joel?
Yeah, look, it will be. It will be. I mean, the world's getting more expensive and most people are, you know, double income, so, or need to be double income to keep moving forward in life, so absolutely.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's one of the things I see sort of coming up a lot in the chats too, mate, is in the groups on Facebook and so forth. They're always asking, you know, can I still go to kindergarten? Can I still take my kid to kindergarten and all this sort of stuff? Because that's one of the concerns. And then they're also concerned about is, how am I going to pay for it? Because, you know, that's a good point. Alona just saying it on the message there on the chat. Alona, do you want to actually just explain the no jab, no pay stuff for people listening? Because even I struggle to get my head around it, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. So the federal government have implemented no jab, no pay. And what that means is if your child isn't up to date with the 41 plus doses of 13 to 16 different diseases, you miss just one of those, you will not get your family tax benefit Part A now.
Wait. Say that again for the folks out there. Just say that one more time, because that was a lot.
Yeah, sorry. I speak very fast. I have a lot of information and
Get it out there again. I just mean we need to hear it again.
Okay, so what it is, if your child misses out on one vaccine,
just one.
Then your child is technically unvaccinated and therefore you cannot get your family tax benefit supplement Part A. And so what that is it's actually $28 a fortnight. So per child, a family is punished $14 a week per child, which equates to about $726 a year. So that's the no jab, no pay. Now, the no jab, no play is implemented in Queensland. And in Queensland, the daycares have the right to refuse your child into daycare and kindy. So, again, the daycare and kindy can discriminate based on the vaccination status of your child. In New South Wales and Victoria, your child is unable to attend daycare and kindy, and the daycares are actually fined if they accept your unvaccinated child, which may have only missed one of those vaccines. Currently in South Australia and WA, they are pushing for no jab, no play, like they've got in Victoria. So it's discrimination and segregation clear.
Yeah.
And what also happens, we're unable to get childcare rebates and childcare benefits. So Joel, for your child, if in Queensland, yes, your child will be able to get into daycare or kindy. But what that means is you'll pay up to $95 to $100 a day for childcare. So it's literally unaffordable for families. And so for me, for my daughter with kindy, one of my friends paid $600 to put her child in kindy. I paid $2,800.
Wow.
Yeah, and so some people are out of pocket up to $15,000. So it's actually forced families to look at alternatives, and we can discuss that later on with Joel, but we are creating different alternatives because we have to. We are being financially crucified, and it's hurting families, and it's not fair. So that's the No Jab, No Pay and Play, and they are vastly different, but it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, Joel, what do you think of that, mate? What's your comment there?
Well, it's unaffordable, isn't it? I mean, it's like coercion, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Were you aware of that, of the amount of those vaccines on the schedule that your newborn is, you know, subjected to if you were going to agree to it?
No, I haven't.
It's phenomenal,
got
isn't
that, it? That far into it. 41's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous that it's that many that they want to put into newborns. And then, like Alona said, if you miss just one of those, you're classed as unvaccinated or undervaccinated. And that means you are unentitled to any of those things. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. I mean, if you did 40 and then you said, hey, look, this one, you know, there's peer-reviewed studies that, you know, that don't sort of run with the norm and I choose not to, you're still penalized. That is ludicrous to me. Yeah, we went to South America about a year or two ago and you've got to go and get a yellow fever, I believe it is, to get back into the country. You've got to go to a certain person to get it, to get the paperwork and blah, blah, blah. And they wanted to give my wife and I around about 15 jabs each, I think. And they were averaged anywhere from about $30 or something to about $120. And when I started to ask more questions, the doctor was Googling. So I asked him to go to the CDC and other websites like that and actually tell me what the risk is. And for most of what he wanted to jab me with, which would have cost probably $1,000 or $2,000 for my wife and I, the overall sort of idea was that it was a less than 0.5% chance of ever contracting any of that now because of sanitation and so many other improvements in obviously that part of the world. But they were quite happy for me to spend nearly $2,000 on needles that I really didn't need.
It's crazy, isn't it? So it just makes you wonder, like, yeah, with the advancements in, like we've talked about, hygiene, the cleanliness of water these days, yet they still have these silly laws in place that really are sort of meant for back in the day, back in the very early days when we didn't have, sewage getting taken away from our homes and clean water and all this sort of stuff, because back then disease was fairly rampant because of the state of affairs in our country. We weren't developed enough. And yet even some of the developing nations, they still have sewage. They still have, some of them still have, plenty of them still have clean water. And yet we're still saying to people, you need to get these vaccines jabbed in here and spend all this money. It's just ridiculous. It's just unnecessary.
It was very fear-based, and after asking some questions, and finding out that the risk level was so low, it was really almost a non-issue. That was kind of what then prompted me to say, well, where else do they, try and strike fear into you so that you just do it? And here we are.
Yeah. I mean, take this for example. I think in the States there was more deaths caused by the MMR vaccine than there was those diseases themselves. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it goes to show you right there. You know what I mean? It's just not only is it unnecessary, but the prevalence of those diseases actually causing death and severe injuries is so low because of the modern society we're living in. Now, Alona, you wanted to just quickly mention something else with regards to the no jab, no pay stuff?
Yeah, look, Lee, just really important. There is a medical exemption that you can get, but then what the medical exemptions have actually, the Australian government has overridden the manufacturer's advice with encephalitis and fevers and that sort of stuff and say to vaccinate regardless. So the only medical exemption you can currently get in Australia to not vaccinate your child is anaphylaxis. So your child actually has to have an anaphylactic reaction to the vaccine. Then they can get an exemption for that particular vaccine. clinics have been set up around Australia, so there's special immunisation clinics. set up in every capital city. So now what they say is you take your child to the clinic and they have an emergency and a resuscitation team next door, so that if your child has a reaction, then they've got people on standby that can actually resuscitate your child. Yeah. So even to get a medical exemption now, it's virtually impossible.
Joel, what do you want to say?
If they, you know, because I've watched some stuff where there has been some injury, which, you know, they obviously say is not vaccine related, but, you know, indications would say that it is. I mean, that you can't get financial returns on it. Like, I mean, not that having a damaged child for the rest of your life is worth, you know, $20,000, but what do you do if they have a vaccine injury, a lifelong illness because of it?
Good point, Alona. What do you reckon there? Does Australia have some sort of vaccine injury compensation fund like they do in the United States?
No, and as we know, Lee, they've just paid out over $4 billion, and they paid out $1 billion in the last 4 years in America for vaccine injury, death and disability.
That's billion, and folks, billion with a B.
Yeah. Here in Australia, we don't have a compensation court. And unfortunately, what has actually happened is that you've got to find a lawyer that will take on the case. Then you've got the burden is proof on yourself to actually prove that the vaccine did cause harm. You sign a waiver. Every time you get a vaccine, there's a waiver that you sign that you take responsibility and take the liability off the manufacturer and the medical staff that actually give you that vaccine. So essentially you're on your own here in Australia. When I was at the No Jab, No Pay Senate inquiry, the Australian Medical Association, when the issue was raised about the fact that there is no compensation court, what they said is we have Medicare. But Medicare do not compensate for the loss of time, income and damage done. So Medicare will only cover a portion of the medical costs and that's it. So that's what the AMA said at the Senate inquiry, which was an absolute disgrace. So essentially they don't care. I spoke to a lawyer and he does workers' compensation claims, and what he said is that a lot of people or workers are claiming through workers' compensation, so therefore it's not acknowledged as vaccine injury, it's not recorded as such, but at least they get a little bit of money or a little bit of help through being damaged. But yeah, the system's a joke and it's a disgrace. And if the government want to enforce vaccination, and we know that vaccinations are not 100% safe and effective, then there needs to be some kind of safety net for these people. And to be honest, you can't enforce vaccination when it isn't 100% safe and effective, because it's not fair. Somebody's going to get damaged.
Oh, yeah, I mean, or die. I mean, we saw a chap, I'm pretty sure, from Sydney, who has died as a result of the flu shot, you know what I mean? And he was a healthy, 30-something-year-old man, you know, and yet he is now, he died like 2 days after receiving the flu shot from complications, which they won't say of what, but I believe that it came out, might even have been the Daily Fail of all websites and papers that printed the story, but I think his wife, even when she was in the doctors and talking to them about what had happened to him, they even said to her off the record that it was most likely the vaccine that did this, but she couldn't get anyone to come on the record to say it. And then that they're like, well, nothing's going to happen from it anyway because they can't prove it. You know what I mean? But even they know in the system that these things are causing injury and even death, and yet they are still making children and adults have these vaccines, and they're on the schedules. And if you don't have them, then you just get cut from so many things. You get your life can be turned upside down as a result, because you cannot live. Some of these families are struggling financially, and they can't live because they need this extra little bit of helping hand, but they don't want to put their kids through this because they are fearful, and I think rightly so. And I think Joel and your missus, you guys, I do think it's not unhealthy to be fearful of these things when there's so much information out there to show that there is unanswered questions. You know what I mean? Like, what, seriously, why is a newborn baby vaccinated on day one of life against a disease, like Alona said, that is primarily transmitted sexually and through, you know, needles and drugs and tattoos and stuff? Why are they doing that? There's no reason for it, and yet it's on the schedule, and it won't come off that schedule until some drastic things happen. Andy, did you have anything else, any questions you wanted to pose to Joel as an expectant parent at all, or am I right to keep going?
Sorry, Matt, I had you on mute.
Yeah, I could see.
Where do we start? You know, I just my youngest child's 22 years old. I wouldn't even know where to start with a newborn child with all of this, corporations taking over our government the way that they have. And that's listening to you, Lee, that's all I'm just screaming, all I'm hearing the whole time with all of this stuff is basically international corporations, money-geared corporations have basically taken over the government, and it's all down to profit off, your poor old human Australians, and that's basically it. There's a no care attitude. It's all comes down to kicking the profit can down the road. So, with Joel, I don't know what to say. Just research.
Yeah, he's got a battle ahead of him. You know, Adam from the Kraz Files he's gone the route of. I think actually completely non-vax for his little girl, which is awesome. But I think he went the homeopathy prophylactic vaccinations, I think is something like that they called prophylaxis. Is that right?
Prophylaxis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that is, do you want to just let Joel know that that's an avenue he could go down to, I guess?
I have heard of that. I just haven't got into doing the research.
Do you know about it, Alona?
Sorry, I do.
Just quickly, we'll get Alona just to describe that quickly.
Homeo prophylaxis is homeopathic. And it's actually a bit like a vaccination schedule is how they give it to you. So they give it to you in doses over a period of time. And you get this little kit and you give it to your child. I actually went and got one for my daughter when she was a baby. And I actually gave her the whooping cough homeo prophylaxis. And I started doing that and then I went, why am I doing this? She has an immune system. She's totally healthy. I'm breastfeeding. And so to be honest, I didn't even finish the homeoprophylaxis because for me I didn't need to, because the diseases that we're trying to vaccinate again are not a big issue for healthy children. And it is only when you're malnourished, when you you don't have your clean water and sanitation and that sort of stuff, that it is an issue. And here in Australia, we don't have that problem, so I didn't do it. Isaac Golden is the king of homeoprophylaxis and he has kits, and you can contact him. He's down in Victoria, so he's the man to see.
Cool.
John, I just wanted to add in, talking about Lee, what we've got to understand now is, and Joel, is that pregnant women are now also vaccinated. So unfortunately, Joel's wife is going to go in at her 28 or 32 week appointment, and then the doctor is going to say, hey, you need these vaccines. So they're going to offer a flu vaccine to a pregnant woman when they can't eat soft cheese and ham, drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes or anything else, and yet you can inject a flu vaccine that has disease and toxins and all sorts of foreign proteins. And they will also offer a diphtheria, tetanus and pertussis shot. Now, the reason they offer you that vaccine is for the pertussis component, which is whooping cough. So there's no need to give a tetanus or the diphtheria while pregnant, but they give it to you anyway because that's the only vaccine that has the pertussis in it, okay? So just earlier we were talking about single vaccines. You cannot get single vaccines here in Australia, even if you wanted to. But anyway, so what they're going to do is offer Joel's wife a vaccine while she's pregnant, two vaccines. And the unfortunate thing about that is there's no studies on that. And I was at a talk and there's a Monash University scientist there, and she said in an audience of 90 people that it is not tested on pregnant women. So it is essentially an experiment as we speak on pregnant women. And Joel's wife has to experience that. And what I'm hearing through my networks is that the pressure and the intimidation with the doctors is extreme and unnecessary. And these poor pregnant women are feeling bullied and coerced And it's not right. And it's terrible that that's where we're at.
Joel, has Kylie come up against any of that so far at the doctor's surgery?
I think our OB might have already sort of cottoned on to the fact that we ask a lot of questions before we make a decision, but we haven't come up against those yet. She's 26-ish weeks, so she's probably a little way off yet.
Yeah, we'll keep your eyes out for that one, mate. Now,
yeah.
Did you have another question for us?
Well, the thing I was going to say, probably two things. One, you know, it's interesting because, like I said earlier before we started, I search far and wide and then make a decision myself. It seems like, especially in this space anyway, that, you know, you've almost got to, you know, hide in a dark corner and talk to someone shady to try and find an alternative avenue, you know, or at least that's how they make you feel, you know, like you're performing witchcraft or something dodgy and untested. Although I had heard recently the homeopathic way that you're talking about before, Alona, that is actually 93% efficient as opposed to like 70%. But probably one thing to mention, as you're saying before, you know, a lot of these diseases aren't really relevant in the country. You know, one argument, I guess, for pro-vaccine is because, you know, they've been vaccinating for so long and that's why they're no longer around. And you always hear herd immunity, and now I'm just sort of regurgitating what people have told me. So, you know, you come up against all that as well.
Yeah, so that's the whole premise that, look, your kid might not be vaccinated, but the school classroom full of 30-odd kids are all vaccinated, but if your kid goes in there, your kid could make them sick because they need herd immunity. You know, like, it's just that stupid argument, that absolute myth of herd immunity. Alona, what are your thoughts on herd immunity?
Oh, look, there's heaps on herd immunity. What I want to say firstly and foremostly, though, essentially how they're selling herd immunity is to protect people with cancer and they're immune compromised. And right. What I'm going to say about that, okay, so that's the main reason why they are selling herd immunity. The problem that you've got there is these people are immune compromised thanks to vaccination, and they're given at birth through pregnancy and for the rest of your life. And so these people with those issues have actually already been vaccinated. And that's part of the problem. But herd immunity itself, as we know, Lee, most adults haven't actually had the full current schedule of 16 different diseases. Mm. So therefore, all the adults are walking around Australia unvaccinated. Most have never had booster shots. And I in all my talks, I ask people to put up their hands. Most of the room, well, in fact, probably only two or three people would put up their hand to say that they've had boosters. So technically, they are not up to date with their vaccines. So herd immunity came around because of natural immunity that was passed on through maternal antibodies and that sort of thing. We don't have that anymore because we have fake, in exclamation marks, immunity that wanes. And so therefore we are going to have a problem down the track because these diseases are mutating and we don't have proper immunity, as in natural immunity. So we're causing mass problems. The measles vaccine, as an example, there is a vaccine strain of measles. There is also the wild strain of measles. There is a vaccine strain of chickenpox. There is a vaccine strain of polio, and just recently Australia sent $10 million over to Papua New Guinea because they have an outbreak of vaccine-derived polio virus. So it's herd immunity is a myth, and also vaccines like whooping cough do not stop the transmission of disease and, in fact, can be a risk because recently vaccinated people can harbour whooping cough unknowingly in their throat and actually shed and spread whooping cough.
Yes.
So by actually encouraging pregnant women and their families to be vaccinated is actually dangerous because people can unknowingly actually be harbouring whooping cough and actually give it to the baby. So we're creating all sorts of problems. And so it's a bit of a myth, the whole herd immunity. There's no such thing.
Yep. Now, you made a good point there, which was that the Australian Immunisation Register used to be called the Australian Childhood Immunisation Register. And they recently, I think within the last 2 years, changed it on their website to just read the Australian Immunisation Register. So they've taken it away that it's no longer with regards to children. Therefore, meaning that the intention is there to have everyone up to date on their vaccines. So not just kids, adults as well. And the point you raised before when you were talking is that adults, you know, we aren't up to date. So, you know, according to their register and their schedule, even though we're fine and we're fit and healthy people, you know, because we haven't had all of the boosters and everything else, then we're technically under or unvaccinated in their eyes. And what that's going to lead to, I fear, is things like, you know, no jab, no school, or, you know, university, no, or no jab, no job. You know, we're seeing a lot of businesses pressure their staff members into getting flu shots every year. You know, this is the direction it's going in, where businesses or bosses are going to be able to log in and see with regards to the new My Health record, are our staff all up to date with their shots? Nope. Oh, well, Bill loses his job because he doesn't want to get vaccinated. So, yeah, they've laid the groundwork, and there's, you know, all the plans are in place. So that's where I see it going. I mean, Joel, does that sort of, you know, does that resonate with you? Do you see this happening? Can you see the groundwork being laid here, or is this all news to you when you haven't heard any of this before?
No, absolutely. I've, as I said, I've been searching far and wide looking. So, but it is interesting because we've got some friends that are close by, or a few friends that are also expecting this year, and, you know, just the different approach, the different information that's being given or sought, you know, so it's interesting.
Now, as a new family who may not, or who chooses the right to not vaccinate their newborn child, or I should say not poison their newborn child, you know, if you choose not to, and you've got, you know, family coming to visit, maybe a family member has recently had a flu vaccine, mate. You know, how do you deal with something like that? What's your thoughts on this sort of thing coming in the future for you?
Well,
how are we going to handle it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, my wife and I would have to look at it and have a chat and try and find some information to help us make a decision on that. We're you know, not 100% across that one yet.
Well, I can tell you where to look, and if you bring up Alona might know the answer to this. What's the common flu shot that we're given here in Australia? Is there a main one that we're given, Alona?
No, because there's different ones for different age groups.
Okay, so I was just going to say, like, if you got a hold of one of the vaccine inserts for some of the more, let's say the more common ones that are given, I'm pretty sure I've seen people post before that it even says on the vaccine insert, not the information sheet they give it, but the actual proper vaccine insert, that it says that you are contagious and should be remained basically quarantined for the next, I think, 2 to 3 weeks after having a flu shot. So you shouldn't even be around anyone, yourself. But people aren't doing that. They're getting a flu shot at work and going straight back to work and never going home and being quarantined like it says to, as a directive in the actual flu shot vaccine insert. So, yeah, that's one of the things you could bring up. If you look for that yourself, you'd probably be able to find it. And so if someone says to you, oh, well, yeah, it's okay, I've had my flu shot, I'm good, I'm protected. Well, you should, then you can come back and say, just so you know, it says in there not to visit any, you know, not to visit anyone or to be quarantined for the next couple of weeks because you are shedding that virus as you go. Because a lot of people who get vaccines aren't aware of that. They're walking around, they're walking time bombs, they're actually shedding these diseases that they're being vaccinated against, and they're spreading them in the community. And this is why so many of these diseases these days are circulating amongst highly vaccinated populations of the country.
Can I chime in a little bit
there? Yeah, go for it, Andy.
Is it not true that, like, new visitors to mothers who have just given birth are, like, basically ordered to have flu shots and whooping cough shots to visit the child?
I was just about to mention the whooping cough one, I believe, is a thing, yes.
So, I mean, isn't that what happened to, like, Mr. Hammond over in WA?
Yes. Yeah.
The only reason he had the shot was because he wanted to visit his wife and child in the maternity ward.
That's right. I remember. Yeah, Tanya Hammond and Ben. Was it Ben Hammond?
Ben, the baby was in intensive care, and so the intensive care staff, basically coerced Ben into having the vaccine before visiting the child. And then, then he was in hospital with the child, paralysed, So that was after the diphtheria, tetanus and pertussis shot.
They obviously believe it to be effective because there's so many that advocate for it.
That's all a bit of a myth too, because like I said before, the whooping cough vaccine does not stop the transmission of whooping cough. So in other words, you can have it and you can still get it and you can still spread it. And so that's one of the faults with the vaccine. And at the Senate inquiry for No Jab, No Pay, the politicians and the senators actually knew that one of the senators, Claire Moore, actually said to me, she knew that the vaccine doesn't work. So they're actually selling a faulty vaccine. It doesn't do its job properly. And unfortunately, they're pushing it because whooping cough is on the rise, essentially because whooping cough is mutating. The actual disease itself is mutating and it's spreading. It can't shed from the actual vaccine, but as I said, you can harbour the, if you're recently vaccinated, you can harbour the disease in your throat. I just want to say too about the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine doesn't shed as such. It's actually the flu mist, which is they use overseas, that actually can shed. So that's the one that's more of a snorted one. That's a live vaccine. And so that particular vaccine can shed. The other live vaccines that can shed are measles, mumps, rubella and varicella and rotavirus vaccine. So those particular vaccines are literally live. So they can shed and you can get measles-like rash from the measles vaccine. And so the concern is in amongst the unvaccinated communities is do we stay away from people that have been recently vaccinated because their unvaccinated child is at risk from a vaccinated child. So, yes,
It's flipped on its head, isn't it? Because their argument is that it's the unvaccinated child that's dirty and filthy and has all the disease and my healthy vaccinated child is the, you know, the child of God and, you know, but it's actually flipped on its head. It's the child that's recently had the shots that's may cause harm to the unvaccinated. It's crazy, but that's the truth.
It is the truth, and that was my concern when I started researching. I was like, what are they on about? They're saying my child is the dirty disease ridden child that should be removed from my care because I can't look after it. But the reality of it is my concern was about the recently vaccinated children. And I know in our networks that is a big concern. My advice to families is, so Joel, is that, look, we are going to be exposed to all these diseases anyway. So it's best to build up immunity from that. Yep. So by coming in contact, because you've got a healthy unvaccinated child, the likelihood of your child getting a shedding disease from a vaccine is small. Because you've got a healthy child because the immune system works. But, yeah, definitely the live vaccines are a concern because they are mutating and spreading and shedding disease. So we have the worst cases of whooping cough ever in the history of Australia. We've got the highest vaccination rate here in Australia for whooping cough. So go figure, shouldn't it be less? Shouldn't whooping cough be going down? But, no, it's going up. And the same with the flu. Everybody has to start using their brains. We've got a high intake of flu vaccines, and yet we have an epidemic of the flu. Like, people have to put two and two together and realise that the vaccines aren't working. They're creating problems.
Yeah. And then I even doubt that they've even got the flu, to be honest, Alona. I reckon these people are, they're getting, I'm not, no doubt they're getting sick, but are they actually getting blood tested and for the actual flu viruses? I don't think they are. And if the ones that do get a test, I've heard that a lot of them are coming back. The numbers are much lower than the media is obviously reporting. Saying 1,000 cases of the flu this week in the middle of winter, and the hospitals are overrun with the sick and dying and inebriated. And yet all these people are out there still lining up for their flu shots. And yet they may be getting extremely sick, but not all of them are actually even getting the flu. So I mean, it's bringing their immune system down, isn't it, with these injections all the time that they're getting. And that's part of their job of a vaccine, is to you know, lower your immune system, your immune response, so that the disease can sort of take hold, and then, you know, the antigens that are contained in them promote antibody growth in the host, which is you, which is then supposed to fight the disease. But you've got all these adjuvants and, you know, like aluminium and so forth that are in these vaccines. You know, it's cool. They're the things that are causing all the sickness. You know, I mean, all of us non-vaxxers are here soaking up the sun and enjoying life and being healthy, and yet you've got all these people who are lining up for the flu shot, whinging year after year that they get the flu or that they get sick still. It's no wonder. It just blows my mind.
So, Joel, can I ask a question? Is your family supportive of you if you choose not to vaccinate?
I have no idea. We haven't got that far yet. We've been keeping it all in-house so far, trying to you know, learn as much as we can, and then, you know, kind of like preparing for a debate, if you will, at high school.
Now, I found it interesting too, Joel, if you, I hope you don't mind my saying, but your mother-in-law is a nurse, or a midwife, in fact. Is that correct?
Yes, has been for many years.
Do you know offhand, I mean, I would assume that she herself has seen vaccine injuries happen almost immediately in some cases with regards to some of these children being born and getting jabbed with that Hep B shot, like Ilona says, that they get straight away. You know, I mean, I would assume that she's probably seen some of the injuries happen, but do you think maybe she's got the blinders on, or she's just not aware, or, you know, doesn't even consider that it could be vaccines? Like, is that a worry of yours, that you've got this side of the family that's just going to be completely against your decision? Is that a real concern of yours?
Oh, absolutely. I think it would be naive to think that it would just sail by most people. As you know, as we've been saying, the main, you know, the general consensus is that, you know, people are healthy because they're vaccinated. So that would be something that something to certainly think about. I'm not too sure as to whether or not she's seen it or puts it together. As I said, we haven't discussed any of that yet. We're trying to work out, you know, what is the information, because, you know, my understanding would be that if you want to go down the natural path, if you will, the homeopathic, the not vaccinated, then there should be a schedule to say, you know, here's the best information available in the world to run that path. If you want to run the other path, well, then, you know, here's the needles, here's the jabs, and here's the best information in that regard to run down. But it's definitely not. So we're trying to learn as much as we can and understand, because it's not too far away. It's only another few months. So we want to know where it all sits and what our opinion is before we get there. And everything, you know, you've got a new baby, you don't know how to work it, there's no manual that comes with them, and then you're going, well, they need this or they'll die, and they need this or they'll die, and they need this or they'll die. Like, you know, I imagine it's going to be high stress anyway, you know, being our first. And you know, trying not to make those decisions when you're in that mindset of, you know, trying to work it all out, it can be a calm, conscious, you know, decision, you know, premeditated.
Yep. Now, Joel, I know you're also in some of these groups on Facebook, like with the Anti-Vaccination Australia and some of these massive, massive Facebook groups. I do believe you've even asked a few questions on there of some of the folks. But have you come across information provided to you by the medical establishment with regards to vaccines? Like, have they given you like some sort of pamphlet and said, these are the ones they're going to have? You know, are they sort of pushing, have you felt that they're pushing it on you? Because I hear that a lot, that, you know, expectant parents are being force-fed all of this stuff about vaccines. And I'm just wondering if you're encountering the same thing.
A little bit. We haven't got too far into it just as yet. I think they probably keep that for the third trimester. There's been a couple of little things that have been said, but there's been no real push on it yet. So I try and watch for body language and understand whether or not that was a pre-frame for later. So we'll see.
Okay, interesting. Alona, any more questions you'd have for our expectant parent here, Joel?
Yeah, look, I just wanted to, it was a really good point that you made about, you know, you've got all this stuff, if you do vaccinate, this is what you do, but if you don't, there's kind of this grey area. But what should really happen is that there should be an option for both sides with all the information so that you can make up your mind. And if you choose this path, well, then obviously you take certain things to have a healthy child. I thought that was really interesting because the problem with it is the medical establishment are all one-eyed. So it's, you just do this. So therefore, if you go, oh, no, I'm not going to vaccinate, it's just shutting you down and intimidating you. It's not, okay, if you're not going to, well, then, hey, you know, do this, you know, if your child gets sick. It's actually really sad that the medical system and that the whole establishment isn't offering an alternative for those that don't vaccinate. But what thankfully we do have in our networks is people that have written books, and there are, like, that's why we have the groups to support. And if a child does get sick, well, then you can, you know, ask everyone what they've done in that instance, what they've done for their child. But there is a really good book by Wendy Lindell, which Raising a Vaccine-Free Child is the book. And so that will go through each of the diseases and what you can do as an alternative. Another thing that I do say to expectant parents, just to be really mindful of, is that the medical establishment, they will want to drug you while pregnant. They'll want to drug you while your wife's birthing. And then, of course, you might lead into a cesarean. So then you've got drugs. And then as soon as the baby is born, then they want to vaccinate the baby. I actually was invited to the birth of one of the mothers up here because she was being bullied and harassed by the midwives. So I got the phone call at 10:30 at night, and I actually went to the birth of a baby, a vax-free baby. And my role was there to protect the mother from unnecessary drugging. So it's sad that this is where it's at, but that's the reality of where it's at. So there's doulas out there, there's people out there that can advocate for you while your wife's in labour to help protect you, essentially, because some of the stories that I've heard is the babies have just been picked up and jabbed against the parents' wishes. And what can you do? It's done. The job's done. There's been all sorts of horror stories. So, you know, for you and making the decision to vaccinate or not, I mean, obviously that's your choice. And, you know, the unfortunate part about the Better Health site and the immunisation schedule is it's all one eye. You know, it's all just their information, their biased information from the manufacturers. There's very rarely an independent study. And then when you do go into it, often the actual studies lead nowhere, or there will be bias in the studies. So this is what we're against. I feel really sorry for parents out there, you know, that are on this journey, because it's overwhelming. And the information, and then the bullying and the harassment on top of that, it's just a disgrace.
Yeah, so you've got to, what I would like to say is that you've got to stand fast, you've got to hold your head high and stick to your guns, because, look, reading from, I'm going to post this in the notes for the show once we publish it, guys, that Ethan from TOTT News, who's messaged me, unfortunately not going to be able to make it for this episode, he's having technical difficulties as well as getting home late, but anyway, he's put up this article on the 25th of July, this 2018, geez, I nearly said this year, I didn't say it, don't get on me. his article was called Ultimate Guide to the Dangers of Vaccines in Australia, and I'll just scroll down a little bit here. It says in the segment called Science Settled, because that's what we hear a lot too, guys. Alona, you're obviously familiar with this term, but the politicians and the medical establishment will constantly parrot that the science is settled with regards to vaccines. And the science is, and I've even spoken to scientists and everyone else and people in different fields, and they all say that the science is never settled. And that is an absolute misnomer and pure propaganda, to be honest. And I'll just read this from Ethan's article here. The myth that vaccines work is attributed to observations of mammals who recovered from infectious microorganisms that obtained natural immunity from future viruses. Although these observations seem to support vaccinations, raw science reveals that vaccines actually destroy cellular immunity. Let's begin by taking a look at one of the most commonly accepted theories in society pertaining to vaccination, and that is, all ingredients used during the immunization process are safe and the science on vaccines is settled once and for all. This couldn't be further from the truth. Take a look at common ingredients found in vaccinations according to the Australian Immunization Handbook. So this is some of the ingredients that they themselves list. Aluminium hydroxide phosphate, borax, which is sodium borate, which causes infertility, polysorbate 80, egg protein, formaldehyde, gelatin, phenol, monosodium glutamate, yes, even MSG, the flavor enhancer, is in some vaccines, phenoxyethanol, dimerosal, which is 50% mercury compound, yeast, neomycin, polymyxin, gentamicin, and kanamycin. So, yeah, there's multitudes of medical doctors and PhD scientists certainly do and have provided evidence of the harm that vaccines are causing in the population, despite the fact that doctors in Australia can no longer promote their patients' best interests in relation to vaccination for fear of being investigated by government medical professional regulators. So there you go. There's a real fear within the medical establishment themselves that they have to promote these things. And if even the doctors who you're supposed to trust, your OB, you know, your GP, if they start saying things to you like, oh, look, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't get this vaccine, or I'm not really for this. If they speak anything of their mind with regards to the vaccination schedule here in Australia, they will be run out of it. They will be decertified. They will no longer be practicing, and they'll have a massive shitstorm upon them. So that right there should tell you that you cannot trust that system, because you're only going to hear promotion, promotion, promotion. You're never going to hear, like Alona said, you're not going to hear the other side of the argument. You're only going to hear one side all the time. So that's why I'm saying you've got to do your own, everyone says you've got to do your own research. And you know, everyone goes, oh, would you just go to Dr. Google, did you? Well, where the fuck else are you going to go? Of course you're going to go to Google, because that's what everyone goes to Google to find shit. You know what I mean? Like, don't let anyone say, oh, you just Googled something and found some whatever website that says shit. You know, like, you can find highly qualified doctors and virologists and immunologists and so many different fields of the medical establishment that they themselves are trying to come out and say, look, you know, there's concerns about this, don't have this, we're anti-vax, we're pro-choice, blah, blah, blah. And yet, you know, they're putting their careers on the line. Some of them will do that. And they're the ones you got to try and find, because if they're willing to put their career on the line and speak the truth, in hindsight, in regards to what's going to be happening to them if they, by doing that, then I think they're the ones you got to be listening to, because they've got nothing to lose, to be honest. If they're in this for the truth, what are they going to gain? They're not going to gain anything in this other than notoriety from their own establishment. So, I mean, why would you not want to listen to these people? And they're the ones you got to start searching for, and there's a whole host of them out there. The lady that Adam had on? The lady from Australia, Judy Wileyman. She's got a PhD. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is another awesome one. You know, she's highly, highly read with regards to vaccines and knows what's going on. And I shared an article from hers just recently, which was that I believe I shared it with you guys, the listeners as well, last week, which was with regards to the Italian anti-vaccine mob called Corvelva, and how they've been given grants to have independent studies on certain vaccines. And those, some of those certain vaccines are some of the ones on our schedule as well. You know, they're trying to cram in 6 vaccines, 8 vaccines. If they can cram the entire schedule into one vaccine, you know, have 50 fucking viruses and jam-packed into one shot, they'll do it. Anything to try and, you know, stop families getting so scared of having so many injections, they'll cram as many as they can into one shot if they can. You know, you've got these companies now, these research groups and private organizations coming up with this massive amount of bombshell data that's coming out now, saying that these vaccines don't even have the actual antigens in them that are supposed to provide the protection. You know, they're nothing but, one of the articles is Infanrix Hexa, 65 toxins found, all risk, no benefit. I mean, hearing something like that, you've got to let people know, because this sort of information will not get out there. You will not get handed a pamphlet on that. You will not have your doctor go, oh, look, we're not going to give you the Infanrix Hexa vaccine because we just saw some study come out from an independent lab over in Italy. Yeah, they're not going to show you that. They're going to go, roll up the little one's pants there and we'll jab this one into their thigh. They don't give a stuff what's come out. So it's us. It's on us. We're the ones that have to give a stuff and we're the ones that have to say no. So just got to stick to your guns there, Joel. Alona, did you have any final thoughts there for Joel?
At the end of the day, yeah, do your research, go with your gut and stand strong. And just recently I caught up with my stepsister, a nurse of 12 years, an immunisation nurse of 5 years. She's 32 weeks pregnant and she was asking me about whether or not to vaccinate. So I think, you know, the awareness is rising out there and I think it's up to everyone to make their own choice. Freedom of choice is the way to go. So I think it's disgusting what the government have done and how they've done it and the fact that they've endorsed all the bullying and the intimidation. And I really feel for new parents in particular. You know, my hubby says we're not going to have another baby because of that. I think it's disgusting. And as I said, there's people like myself and groups out there that are willing to help and support people. So
yes, you're not alone, Joel. You're not alone.
Yeah, no, definitely not alone. And even people that do choose to vaccinate and they want more information, well, we're still there. There is a really good website too called medsciencereresearch.com, which is all science-based research from all different resources. And, yeah, it's a really good spot. And, you know, Dr. Google, well, just go straight to that site because you don't need Dr. Google.
MedScienceResearch.com.
Yeah, it's called MedScienceResearch.com.
Okay, I'll have a look at it.
Yeah. I'll put that one in the show notes for the folks listening as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. They've just listed it. It's all, verified articles, like science-based. So, yeah, they're really good.
Thank you.
Cool. Andy, yeah. Did you have anything else for Joel and or Alona before they sign off?
No, not too much, you know. Like, just go with your heart, Joel, you know. Like, you're getting bombarded with lots of good information. The people that you're talking to haven't got an alternative interest. People like Alona aren't making money out of this crusade, unlike the medical system. Just look at it honestly. Just look, see what's going on, and make an educated decision. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing that already, Joel. So keep on doing it, mate. Any final thoughts from yourself? Any further concerns or questions?
No, that's good. It's a whole bunch of extra reading for me and researching and someone in a loner to touch base with when I have questions that, you know, someone in a lab coat's not going to answer for me, so to speak.
Yeah.
And Joel, look, I do offer as well. Like, I offer to go to parties, to have coffees, to whatever. And I just say to people, hey, invite your parents and I'll just come along as a family friend, you know. I think the conversation has to be had within families and I think it has to be an open discussion and an honest discussion. And if family members can't respect other people's wishes, then I think that's disgusting. And unfortunately, that's what the government have created. And unfortunately, their families are breaking down, so relationships are breaking down. But I think everyone needs to start just being open and honest and respecting. And if they're vaccinated, they're protected. Is that right? Like, do vaccines work? So what are they really afraid of? And I think their fears are unwarranted because they can do whatever they want and you do whatever you want. And yeah, so hopefully your family respect that and it all goes well for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Joel. And I hope you and the missus have a beautiful, beautiful little child there. And I'm sure it's going to be very loved, and with a father like yourself, mate, it stands all the chances in the world of being a successful little person that you're going to be raising there too. Alona, thanks so much for coming on and for giving us your time. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice, and whatever podcast you're on, whether it's mine or Adam's or whoever's, it's great to see you're still out there fighting the good fight, and keep doing what you're doing. Alona, whereabouts can folks reach you?
Yeah, Alona Fit Parent Network is my Facebook page, or you can check out my website, alona.com.au.
A-L-L-O-N-A. Yep.
Alona.com.au. Yeah.
Awesome.
Just a basic little site where you can contact me. That's what I do all day, every day, is to send out emails and information and connect people. So,
And for anyone else out there listening, you're going through the same thing that Joel is, with an expectant little child, or even if it's not your first and you're having these concerns now, look, you're not alone. There's plenty of support out there. Just reach out, start the conversation. That's all you got to do, is start that conversation, and don't let people bully you and badger you into getting these jabs when they're no longer necessary anymore. Just stay healthy, eat right, get plenty of sunshine, and just live well. That's all I can say, folks. Thanks again for everyone for listening and for coming on today. We're going to wrap this episode up now. Andy, thanks for joining us as always. Great to have you on, mate. And Andy is going to be back on with me tomorrow night. We're doing another show straight away tomorrow, because I had a guest lined up for tomorrow evening as well. We're going to have Jeffrey Hodges from the No Tolls Party, and they're actually starting basically a boycott, a strike, if you will, of all the tolls all around Australia. So they're hoping to have a bit of impact, similar to the fuel strike. Will it work? Well, tune in to find out, folks. This is the General Knowledge Podcast, episode 9. Thanks again, folks, and we're signing off.